You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Well, you know, as usual, so as usual, I'm talking about right and wrong and conditioned reflex response. And that's all it's in life that it is. Unless you can deal with stress, you're finished. And as you as a nation do not know how to deal with stress, you start to dealing with each other in a way that stresses each other. And then when you stress each other or you get stressed, you will stress another person like you were stressed. You're passing it on. You have to vent it in some way. And the safest place to vent it is your kids, because they can't complain. You can be as mean as you want. Scream at them, yell at them. And you vent it, and you feel better. But it seems like normal, you can't stop. And the kids start to break down. And then you get angry at them again. And then they conform. Also, that you've given a choice between conforming and rebelling. See? So if the person is a rebel, the kid's a rebel, and you yell harder, he will just buckle down and won't do as you tell him and just do the opposite. Or run away. See? Or you give in to get along. But then you're giving up your life force, as I was explaining a few minutes ago. So I'm talking about the fact that this country, everybody in it, everybody who has any common sense left, which is about two-thirds of you, and the other third are very dangerous. They're programmed to kill you. I'm telling you right now, you see it, you see the fires in various cities, right? So you've seen it? And those are the kinds of people who have been programmed to the dark side of the force. And I spent my whole hour discussing that. And once you start to give in to cruelty, you become an appeaser, and sort of like a nice person that wouldn't hurt anybody, but you give in to those who are stronger than yourself all the time to keep peace. There is no peace. Or you become one of them, and you're fiery, and they'll give you an object to hate. They give you a target. That gang leaders do that, but the politicians also have the same. But wicked politicians can do this in greater numbers. And I see the danger is in your elections, and your elections to come. Because so many people are subject to the government, a slave of the government, in many different ways, being paid more than you for doing half as much. That's it, paying twice as much for doing half as much. And they're very, very secure and competent, and they don't do a whole lot except little paperwork here and there. And the government gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and people who work gets less and less and less, and then sooner or later there is 60, 63 to 33, almost, you know, a full 100%, and then you've got a whole country upside down because of those defending themselves who have it left haven't got enough of Christianity to overcome what has overcome your fellow countrymen. And it only takes a few people at the top to elect a few people at the top that have no scruples and can play you like you're being played now. And you did it twice. And so, how do we get a good person in power? Then you need to be intuitive as to who's running. And intuitive is if you are upset, angry, annoyed, frustrated, there is a danger, not altogether dangerous, that you will make a mistake and give in to that which looks most like what did it to you. So if you elected our president, Obama, he's a nice person. So you think he's a nice person because he acts nice, because you come from a bad home. So therefore you elect him because he's nice to you. But he's not really nice at all. He's seducing you. And you can't see that.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Yes, let me start with the beginning again. We might have missed it. The right and wrong of conditioned reflex response. It attains it the form of any living thing to cause it to evolve or devolve, if there's such a thing. We need to cause it to react. There's going to be reactions for changes, compounds, see, and billions of different compounds, which we call life. Too complicated to go through right now. But reaction here is produced by an inducing disturbing elements that will cause you to run or fight. That's the run or flight principle of animals. So even a lion would run away from from an elephant. See, they're not so powerful. They're only strong enough when you see something weaker and you jump on it. That's what, animals do, don't they? They catch the weak ones. And that, in a manner of speaking, is valuable. Everything eats everything else and it only eats the one that lose. That's how you know they lose. They get eaten. And so then you get whole countries like chickens. They are because they think they're being fed by the government and all they're doing is being fattened for the kill to start a new war and obey and make a tale a lie that the bad guys on the other side are trying to get us when it's not true. You could be made to be so passive and suggestible. You will believe the way Hitler did it. He invaded Poland, for example. How did he do that? He had an excuse. So he took a radio station and he put some Germans in it in Poland. He bought a station and made it, built it and bought it and put German a crew in there, and they had to spend a lot of time speaking Polish, dancing to Polish music, and thinking in terms of being of the same language. And it took some years to do that. Meanwhile, mistake in giving you a wrong example. But he eventually claimed that the Germans were killed by these Germans who were playing the role of being Polish. And therefore he declared war. I may have messed it up a little bit, but you see what I'm saying. So he got those who were looked like they were Polish, to kill some of the Germans as an act of war. But they were Germans acting like Polish radio people. That's it. I think that's pretty close. It's all lies. You don't really know what's going behind the scenes. You have to be aware. In those days, communication was a bit slow.
But this is Advice Line with Roy Masters. If you've been helped by Roy Masters, make a pledge. Call 1-800-500-0922. That's 1-800-500-0922.
So was this program so bad you had to put that in there? We got little glitches all the time. It interferes with me. This should make me really mad. Grumble, 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 grumble. All right. So 800-866-8883. I'm saying that just to change a form of a living thing, you have to cause it to react. And you react in the result of that, you are dissolved into the body of something else, and so on and so forth. But reaction requires change. And if I could say that that's a good thing in this world, if you couldn't have any wildlife or anything if it was all plastic. Everything's killing each other all the time. It's war all the time everywhere. But it looks peaceful. You open a piece of ground and look carefully in it, you see all kinds of creatures fighting each other. It goes on eating and being eaten. But it's a healthy way. You can't have little plasticine things, plastic things that look like they're flowers and bees and cows and anything made of just plastic that does just eat us on. It's not real. It's a living thing. It's something gets better, something gets worse. Something gets eaten. Something gets changed. And so what I'm trying to say here is the similar thing between human beings. You've got to be very careful not to be eaten by another person, slowly but surely, until you get, you know, sick. And then when you get sick, then you get people, doctors working on you who really don't, most of the time, don't know what's really wrong, but they fix it. So you live longer, but you haven't dealt with what made you sick. It could be a diet, and it could be other unfortunate situations, which I'm not talking about, but in the modern day, where you have the good food available and you don't eat it, and you take too much pleasure of ice cream and all kinds of stuff that you shouldn't be eating, and you're just eating to live, not live to eat. So this could be a mental condition, one that something has happened to your mind, and of course, as a baby, as a small kid, you can't help but be given the food. You've got to eat. You can't make any choices, for which reason they are sick, not because they are willful, all that, but their parents, you give them sweets and God knows what, and thinking that's love, and baking cakes and cookies and buying things. They're not good for them, only because parents are broken and they want the child's love, so they give them the lousy food, the food that isn't natural. So they get sick, eating the wrong food. And then mother gets worried, and then she thinks worry is love. They go to the doctor and they get better, and the doctor tells us we make sure to keep the kids away from sugar. It's like alcohol to an alcoholic. But the parent just doesn't, you know, they're still kids, still now addicted to the good stuff, the stuff that makes them feel better. It's like addiction. And you can't help but keep doing it and not seeing the wrong of it. You can feel the pull to give the kids, to make them happy, because you, as a kid, you weren't happy yourself, so you gave them what you didn't have. Even if it's a car. You can actually make a person dependent on your largesse and do less for themselves. They need to work for everything and learn to go out in the world and deal with the stresses and pains and misfortunes. And it's the going out into the world and properly, you know, disciplined out into the world to get more discipline, to get more of what you've been taught at home. So you become more resilient. And not in eating people and getting people upset, see? Not in that, just in that in itself. But in the fact that you learned how to deal with people not to eat you and not to eat them. Because you could eat food in a proper way, see? If you had enough common sense to eat food and be sensible with everything you eat and do, it's only because you are listening to the bright side of the force. A very few people do that. The children don't get it, the parents give it, and they don't get it, and so on and so forth. And if you look at the average store, to see nothing else but wall-to-wall junk. Oh, why don't you say so? Oh, good. Thank you very much. I'm looking for callers. I really am, because. Okay, now Lisa, you have. Go ahead, Lisa.
Well, I spoke to you last week. I'm the person that basically works the kids that are in jail, and.
Oh, I remember you. You've been coming for a long time.
I have, and it's been taking a very long time to work through to where I'm at. And when we talked last week, you said that I was about three quarters of the way there.
Yes, roughly.
Yeah, I wanted to tell you what I discovered this week, and I also wanted to make a comment about what you're saying, you know, the subject matter, just what you're talking about. I find, you know, what you're saying actually pretty fascinating, and I can actually see myself getting better. And I've discovered during the week that really my belief system has changed.
Yes.
It's kind of interesting, but I can see that when people are ill, it's because, you know, in my particular situation, because you say that people get diseases for different reasons, but I can see the whole people feeding off of you type of thing.
Yes.
And it makes sense to me. I told you that I had a mother that was completely, she actually went extreme. She was overbearing and would love on me and then give me all this attention and then ignore me. Goes back and forth, back and forth. She was just really would mess with my head.
Can I stop you there?
I saw
a movie once, and it was beautifully done with what you just said. Here's the scene. Here's the mother screaming, "You stupid idiot!" You know how I can't do it. But you can imagine that. And the little girl crying, "Mother, please don't, please stop, please stop, please stop, please stop! I'll do anything." And all of a sudden, mother stops, and then she says, there, little girl. My little daughter, mother loves you. I'm sorry for that." And she hugs the little girl. And what she's done, she's nurturing what she put inside her. Do you understand that?
Yeah, I do. It's making me very uncomfortable. I must have something still inside, but yeah. I realize it's not her, but what?
It wasn't her. No, her. Yeah. It's not in the mother. It doesn't originate in the mother. It originates through mothers.
Right.
And men don't know how to deal with that because they come from women. You know, you hear this story, you know, through one man's sin and death through sin spread through the human race like cancer, see, like a disease.
Yeah.
But the point is, the man that comes out of a woman is not really a man yet. Because he's the extension of the woman who's the extension of the dark side of Eve. Eve,
right.
Every woman is Eve. And they want the hell knocked out of her, not the love, the dirty love in her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, up until recently, and I'm talking this past week, I was not willing to admit that I had that spirit of Eve inside.
Yeah, you have to.
Can you believe that?
It's necessary.
I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't see it inside. But what I noticed also, like when you were talking to another woman who has breast cancer. She actually was a woman that didn't go to the doctor yet, and her problem was getting worse.
Yeah, hold the line. Can you hold a second?
Yeah, I can.
It's only a minute or two. And I'll just say, please, the number is 800-866-8883. At 6 to 8 o'clock, you'll get to me. In Pacific time. All right. So, okay, I was just about to say, go to my website, FHU.com, and get the CD, not the CD, free of charge. Download it in your app, your Apple app, and your Pear app, whatever kind of app you got, okay? A Google thing. Oh, these words, you know, really weird words, but I'm glad it's working. All right, go ahead now. Lisa with cancer, and you're doing better now, are you?
Yeah, I am. But, you know, I got to tell you, every time that you say that word, even just now, see the word cancer or disease, something makes me very uncomfortable with that. It caused such a reaction in me. And even now, I don't know what it is, but there's some.
Well, it should make you uncomfortable and ask yourself, why is it uncomfortable, the idea? Because it produces a fear, and because it represents a dark side of you. Something is eaten away. Something is eating away, and your immune system. What they call the little creatures that move in the system, living things that
eat. The white blood cells.
The blood cells. You know, the blood cells belong. See, when the queen or the king of a country is weak, then something evil takes over, see, and puts something unholy in the place of the holy, because the king is not strong enough to see this and too busy about other things to see it or to do anything about it, not the strength. And so you have inside you another entity, like a twin, which is very dark, and as a result of that, your immune system is compromised. That makes the blood cells, makes for bad blood cells, means because it's part of the extension of the substitute king, who's evil, and so therefore the blood cells, like human beings, lose their trust in the king. And it demoralizes them, so to speak. Right. It's very similar principle. And so once enough of those blood cells get to be blood cells, they multiply, and they work more and more for the dark side of the force in building it. But so the dark side of force blood cells begin to eat or convert. The good cells, they surrender, and the good cells become bad cells. They either get eaten, or they become what the others are by the stress of it. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that's called, when you have an attitude like that, things go wrong with your immune system and your blood and the way you eat. Yeah. See that?
Right.
And it's all it's all because you are still getting upset with people, places, and things, and then you get upset with the sickness you see happening to you that's called cancer. But the shock of seeing it is then reinforcing the enemy cells.
Well, I have discovered that I'm more patient with things.
You need it's taking too long right now.
Yeah.
It needs to happen tomorrow. It needs to happen now. Why are you waiting so long? Because I tell you why. The dark side of you, the dark side, it owns you to some degree. And to some degree, you have a life. But it's the wrong kind of life. But nevertheless, it's life itself. You're glad to be alive. But that's the life that leads to death. You have to be willing to give up your life. So how do you give up your life? The wrong kind of life is to stop being angry with yourself, with your failing, stop rebelling and pressing and squashing down your faults, making excuses, and then being distracted by being angry at other people. See? And what you need to do is to determine that you've had enough. You understand the psychology and the other form of perversion, perverted materiality. And so you need to look at your cancer and not be, look at the fear and let yourself look at the cancer without the fear, without struggling with it, without worrying about it. It is what it is of myself. I can do nothing. You see that? See, why are you crying? Why are you crying? I know why you're crying, but you tell me.
Something's ready to come out.
Of course. Let it come out. That's an exorcism, isn't it? Now come out. Come on out. You have no business being in there. You hear my voice? We know who you are now. We see you, and you don't like the light. See the light? The light is shining in this young lady. Come on. Come out. Don't waste my time, or I'll come in there and get you. And you won't like it. You're going to burn in there. It's cooler out of her. What's your name, by the way? Tell me your name, who you are. Hey, tell me who your name is. What do you call yourself? What do you call yourself? Are you afraid to speak? Or are you afraid? You're afraid to speak your name. What a coward. Tell me who you are. I said, tell me who you are. What name do you go by?
Dismal,
die. You're dead already. Be twice dead. Get out of her now. Get out! That's it. That's it. Yeah, look at you. Yeah. That's all you got. Yeah. That's all you got, you stupid idiot. Get out. I'm not talking to Lisa. I'm talking to you, you silly fool. The only life you got is a body. God help you if it changes. He's not going to help you. He's not going to help you. He's not going to help you. He's not. Your devil won't help you. You better get out before you lose too much. Because the devil doesn't like you to lose. So you better lose and stop having more losses. Because the more you lose, the more he'll hate you for it. Oh, you'll love that. Come on now. Stop the noise. I said stop the noise. It's done. Oh, you forgot your name. Okay, oh, you did. Is a different name?
Roy.
Okay. Yes.
Can I tell you something?
What?
I think that when I was a teenager, I was so depressed, but.
Okay, go ahead now. Lisa, go ahead.
Do you remember I told you that the music in my head plays continuously?
Mm-hmm. You did tell me, but I did forget.
Yeah. when I was a teenager.
That's a distraction. That's a distraction.
Yeah, but I think that when I was a teenager, something got in.
Yes.
Right around the time that my mother had died. She died when I was 13. But I was very depressed after she died.
Your mother was cruel.
Yeah, she was.
But you see, you had a fake affection for her. You had become her. You've become her.
Yeah.
And so.
So I think. Go ahead.
Well, because you were depressed, so you needed something to distract you from the depression.
Did the music?
Music gets in the way. It keeps the consciousness, the light from coming to show you not to be depressed.
Right.
Let her go. You hear what I said? Let her go. Let that woman go. Let that woman go. There it is. Her name. What's your mother's name? What's your mother's name?
Alicia.
Yeah, go away. Go away, Alicia. Go ahead. Is that what you are? That's your real name. You took on the nature of this woman. You're too cowardly to put your own name on there. So it's you that's taking the place of her mother. So now Lisa knows it's not mother that did it to her, but the sin that made a hole in her. So she can forgive her mother, which you don't want her to do. You don't want her to forgive your mother. Her mother, you enjoy letting her hate your mother and then being sorry for your mother who died when she's really, really happy, in a manner of speaking. But happiness isn't a good thing to see your mother die. It should be no feeling at all. Now listen carefully, Lisa. Mm-hmm. That feeling you have for your mother, that depression,
it's unnecessary. Yeah.
It is unnecessary. It is fake. It is a fake caring.
I don't have it anymore, but I think that's what was inside.
Yes,
and because I remember when I'm meditating during the day, those same thoughts would come up. But I think that's something that got in a long time ago.
It did.
Recently, you told me that I was angry at God, and that was a really big relief.
That's right.
Because right around that time, I had discovered that I had an incredible amount of guilt over the hatred of my mother.
Yes, of course.
So it was just one layer on top of another layer.
Yes, it is. And there's a lot in there for it to come up. But I tell you the secret. As you see these thoughts, as you describe them,
yes.
So when you see that morbid state of being unhappy about your mother, remorseful,
right.
whatever you called it, look
right.
at the remorseful feeling and just watch it go away.
Okay.
Otherwise, you'll be in the grave with your mother.
No. Well,
you don't want that to happen.
No,
that's where the dark side's coming from, though. It's your connection to your mother in the brain because you have remorse for her. You need to let her go.
Okay.
Even good people, you need to let go.
Yes.
Okay. So when Jesus went to the grave, see, it was different. I'll tell you what the difference is when I come back. And we'll take.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Well, see, as long as you, Lisa, I'm just going to say goodbye to you because you can call again. I have people lining up here.
Okay.
No, so I just want to give you a last touch, you know, to make you better.
Right.
The whole thing of Jesus, him giving himself up to death, and through faith knowing that he'd be reborn. Everybody knows that, but nobody's ever seen it. So he made a show of it. There I am again. See, I build my temple in 3 days. Well, there it is. Don't touch me because it's not finished. So there it is, the proof that life after death. Now, you have to be very careful who you're worshiping, and you've been worshiping your mother and getting her identity, getting her approval, and the more you get approval, the worse you get, and the more dependent you are on her approval, because you're feeding her nature in you. See, now, my own mother died at 54 in a motel. My mother was a decent woman, and I never had a feeling when she dropped dead. And I said to myself, what kind of man am I? I don't have a feeling for her. She's there, she's dead. And they carry her out in a stretcher, and they drop the body. I'm still not disturbed. I just watch it. Why am I not disturbed? Okay? My mother is a good woman. She's simple and childish in sense, but decent. But my father, who was different, he was hardly ever there. Not because he couldn't be there. He didn't want to be there. But it was a depression. And he could speak 11 languages and make anything, and he couldn't get a job. But never mind, he was never had any anger or hostility. And from him, there was a canopy, invisible canopy over my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I was to go to his gravestone today in England and stand there, I'll cry like a little kid. I'm 88 years old. And you know what that is? He is not in the grave. He's not in that box like your mother
mm-hmm.
is.
Right.
See, so when Jesus dies and he goes to the grave and you love him instead of loving some animal that your mother is and never was contrite with it, you understand? Then you are in the grave with her. You're in the dark side, in the manner of speaking, beyond the grave. And that is the dangerous part. So you really need to let your mother go. I can let my mother go, and she's decent. I can let my father go, except when I get too close to this. That's when I see a kid doing the same thing as shoveling dirt over the dad's coffin, see, at my age. You see that? But the point is, he had something. When I asked him, what's the meaning of life? He says, you have to find it. That was the best. That was all the training ever gave me. That was enough. I'm going to give you some training. See?
Okay.
Drop your mother. She couldn't help what she's doing. She never found it. It's none of your damn business now.
You're right.
You go on with your life. And therefore, if you can hear me where I'm coming from a Jesus state. Am I not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so therefore, take that into yourself. And so, and let your mother go. And that what will cause you to let her go is your faith in him, quietly.
Okay.
I see it now. Thank you, God. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. God bless you.
Thank you.
Call me again.
God bless you.
You feel a little better now?
I do.
Yeah, good.
I do feel better.
Good. That's my work. All right, we're going to take another call. 800-866-8883. Would you like to learn the simple beauty of meditation? It's only 7 minutes. Can you spare 7 minutes? And there's no fancy words. There's no verses and chapters. Nothing. And there is something very biblical about it. It's called be still. And no, I'll show you how to be still, because that's a conundrum. What does it mean to be still? Go to my website, fhu.com, Foundation of Human Understanding. It's free. And if it helps you, would you please just support me then? Pay it forward, because it costs money to support this program. I'm a bit disappointed in the fact that not enough is coming in. It was doing okay in the beginning in our pledge drive, but it's slowed down too much now. And so please, as little as it is, support it, you know, in a repeating auto debit. Okay, got Andrew in Utah. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
Hi, Roy. Thanks for taking my call. And,
my pleasure. I always like callers.
I usually listen to the podcast. I don't ever listen live.
That's all right.
So as I was on hold, I realized my question was kind of quite fitting. I actually have a couple questions, but we'll just stick to the first one, and then if we have time, I guess, if you want. But here's my question. How can you tell? I've heard a number of your programs where someone calls and they're possessed, And I'm just wondering, how can you tell if someone is possessed versus just, you know, kind of influenced by by evil spirits?
Yeah, it's a good question. Yes, it's appropriate. It's a matter of intuition and timing. But the truth is, everybody's possessed, including me. And I was possessed to the age of maybe 40. I didn't know it. And then one night I had, maybe 35. We came from Houston to California, where on 1960 I started my radio program for 15 minutes a day. But we were staying near Disneyland in an orange grove, you know, where you can put your trailer. I lay down, and there, something dark down, deep down, dark, caused my fingers to curl up like a old witch, and my ears turn up, and my face changed, and down the bottom of a terrible black place, so black I've never seen black like that before. It doesn't exist. And it's so dark you can't see it, but you can sense it down there, something waiting for me. Then I said, "Oh God!"
Listening to advice,
and all of a sudden it went away. And guess where it came from? My sexual relationship with my wife. She is possessed. She was all of her life, and then I found out nearly everybody's possessed. But I got infected by her by relationship, by being married, and she's broken now. She's always hidden her secrets from me and never came to me and say, "Look, I'm judging you." And so she's paying a price for it now, but I've become a better man because I've been 64 years waiting for her for me to help her, because I can't help my own wife until she's ready. I can't force it.
Okay, so when you have people calling you, then sometimes you or even David will kind of say, you know, "Hey, it feels like there's someone else I'm talking to here," right?
But everybody has it. There's not a person in the world that doesn't have it. It comes into them with the world, but it gets worse with behavior, by listening to its behavior. See, so...
Okay.
But the point is, but not everybody's ready to see it. So I have to look in the heart of the person that's calling, which is not that easy, because I don't see the person's face. I don't see their body, the shape of their body, and little signs that tell me they're ready. And so every now and then I get it. Therefore, every now and then, it's not very often, but I said, "You need some help now," and bang, it's there.
Okay. That's...
Can't do that all the time. I only do it to people who are really, really, really ready, and they see where I'm coming from, and they put their souls in my hands, and I give them over to God.
Right.
I don't keep them. I free them from my mortal self.
Okay.
Oh, does that help you?
So, that does. Because after I listened to you, I just kind of came away with the impression it seems like everyone or there's, you know, millions of people that are possessed.
No, the whole world. The nicest people, you can't tell it, are suffering. Nicest people are suffering from their own suffering. They're so successful with a personality they display.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. When I was a teenager, somebody came and approached me and asked for help. They thought that they were possessed, and I dismissed it because I just thought, well, if you were possessed, you would know.
No, you're possessed, you do not know, and it has to get very bad. It has to get very bad for you to see it. Because in the beginning you think, "I can do this," but there is no you. It's all it all the time.
Wow.
The thoughts are it. So, you know, if you were born in China and you're a little Chinese boy seeing some money on the dad's table and he's not Johnny, he's ha 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 ha. What you call, I can't speak Chinese, so I have to do the best I can. Which means you can buy that little toy and have a little airplane with that money. Your father wouldn't notice it. And there's a pool to take the money. And then when the father comes in, he says, did you take that money? No, Johnny made me do it. Oh, made me do it. See that kind of thing? It's the same thing in every language.
And the excuses are the same. More like influence versus, you know, because I could whisper in somebody's ear versus spiritually, a demon spiritually possessing someone. That's
right. Demons can only live through the bodies of other people. And there's billions of them. And they rise from the ground into people and then from people into people. And so the only way they can live is to possess your body. So they live through your body. And the reason for that, then it makes people evil, sick, wicked, murderous, all the rest of it. There's so much of it that the devil has sworn they will multiply evil until there's no one left to inherit the kingdom. That's what's going to happen now. And you have lots of people who love evil, especially on the left. And on the right, it is pathetic Christian people.
Right.
I mean, pathetic meaning artificial. Verses and chapters, right. Self-righteous, are just as bad as the left, where they're unrighteous. And what we need is the ability to know what was right in your heart without a teacher. And you ask me, where do I get mine from? I get it from within. And every word I say and everything I do not know what's going to happen next. I do not plan for anything. I'm just a happy-go-lucky person. And if something comes in my way, I know what to do immediately. I don't have to make up my mind. I don't have to think about it.
Yeah, right.
But
it's
opposite. No,
I used to be very... I used to have to think through everything.
No, it's no good.
And I've realized I've listened a lot to you over the years, on and off, and I've realized there's a scripture in the book of Matthew where Jesus says, "In your patience possess ye your souls."
That's right.
And that's exactly what you talk about.
That's right.
Really, it's patience.
Like
patience
wait for it to come, and stand your ground. And if you've got nothing to say, don't say anything. It's enough. That is enough by itself, by not being upset. The whole secret is not to be upset. All right. So I got to go to another call. I hope that's good enough.
Okay. I'll just try calling again. I do have the other question, but this was kind of pressing on.
How about tomorrow? So. How about Monday?
Okay. Yeah, I will.
That's nice. Thank you. I couldn't talk to somebody else now. Where do we go next? Oh, how about... Well, okay, you come to the right place. Hi, son. how daughter? What would you like? I could be your dad for a little bit.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, it's me. Oh, okay. Yeah. Hi.
Yes. Hi.
I have a couple of issues. I'll try and be brief and hopefully clear. The first one is I have five children, four daughters and a son. My youngest is 26, so they're really all grown up. Their father left me with these children when I was when my youngest was 6 months old. So I raised them myself with your help, actually, by listening to you and meditating, and did the best I could. Now I have a daughter who is 38. She's expecting a baby, and I did speak with you about this back in September, I think. She's expecting a baby in a few weeks, and the father neither one of them have been married or have children.
Oh, dear.
I have a home that I don't live in that I offered her to stay at, and my request was that the father and her be married before he moved in.
Nice.
He hasn't moved in. She lives there, but he hasn't moved in, and he promises this and promises that, but doesn't.
But I would say to your daughter, you're going to get out of my house. You either do it honorably, or you cannot have my house. I will not reward your unfaithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be faithful to your Creator and do it right, and to be a mother and have a real father for your son, because this man is not, if he doesn't marry you, honestly, and you don't need to marry him if he's, you see, he's a fake and just using you, because this could be used as an example whether he's a real person or not.
Uh-huh.
You have to be very careful about this man. You tell your daughter that this man does not want to marry your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be free. It should be reasonable. It shouldn't be free. You can spoil him.
My daughter living there?
No, yes, your daughter by herself, yes, she's all right. But when the man comes in and marries, then he needs to pay rent.
Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
All right, then, Barbara, where are you with this now?
So she's living there. She's expecting this baby, this little girl, in like 3 weeks.
No, it's just really not. It is not the greatest thing in the world. He needs to make a commitment.
Yes, I agree completely.
And he doesn't. You know, she's duplicating your example.
No, exactly. Yes. Right. Their father left. I didn't have any protection when I was younger. I was 14, and he took advantage of me. He was 19, and I lived my life under that. You know, 5 children with him, and he left when my younger was.
That's not good.
No, it was terrible. It was a terrible, terrible situation.
I think you should intervene on this. I can't help you if you don't. You need to look at this person properly and don't overlook it the way I did, as a feeling of security. Because you never got happy. It's a wonder you have nice kids, because you are a nice lady. I can see I see your qualities. It's very nice.
Thank you.
And so you need to be strong in a nice way. I said, look, I've got no husband. I do need a good husband. You need a good husband. The baby needs a good father.
Mm-hmm.
So is this man a good father? You must consider this and not simply wait for him to come in whenever he wants to. He's already had you. He
right.
needs to marry you and get it done right. And come up here and marry. I'll marry you at Tall Timber Ranch.
Oh, sure.
And if I don't like him, I won't marry.
Okay.
I'll look him over and take one look at him and say, don't marry this swine.
Mm-hmm.
Got it?
Yes.
I can see what she can't see.
Yes.
That's what a father's for, isn't it?
And I talk to her about these things, and she does understand. She wants to marry him, and he talks a good game.
But you don't want to mess with him. Get away from me.
Okay.
Reject him completely.
Okay.
And let him, because he's got an attachment to this girl. That he has to now overcome. It's an addiction. And and frustrate the living crap out of him.
Okay.
And then let him beg. And then to not want him for begging.
Right.
I mean, you just tell her to hold her ground, and you take care of her while he's doing that.
Okay, that makes sense. That's what I will do.
Let's have fun with the little bastard, right?
But... Yes, I know.
All right.
Yes.
See if he can take it.
Yeah, I know. I don't think
that's
he can,
what marriage is all about. If he could take it and say sorry.
Right. And real quick, the other thing, real quick, is that I said I'm, as a single mother, and I actually am. But 6 years ago, I married, and really, it's not really a marriage at all. And I even talked to you about this before too. It's not a marriage. He withholds to make me do what he wants, and
why do you bother with him? You can't exchange your body parts to each other or your soul.
And I don't. I do not do that. I will not do that. So you're.
Well, what is that? You don't have sex with him?
No, I don't.
Oh, that's a good thing.
I don't. I won't, because of what he's trying to withhold from me. I won't.
It's not a matter of who gives. He gives, you give. No, that's not
exactly.
That's what it is. There's got to be some kind of love.
Exactly.
The whole back, so not have you, because you need pleasure.
Right.
So does he need pleasure or does he love you? If he loves you, yes, he'll have feelings, but he restrains that because he doesn't want to take advantage of you. He wants to wait for you to love him and see his patient endurance. It may take 2-3 years for anything to happen there, but he still loves you and takes you out for dinner and has nice conversations with you. And then one day it will be natural for him to marry you. And just be just like, shall we get married? Yeah, I think so. It's about time.
And that makes total. I think that's that. You know, you have told me that before, and I hold my ground there. I do. It's been years. I mean, we've been together for 6 years. We had a little ceremony, and it turns out the preacher is not a preacher, and so I don't sleep in the same room. He doesn't. He just withholds from me like he holds his will over me. And you've told
me. Yeah, but that's not love.
No,
if he holds the will over you, he wants something to you, and he's just waiting for you to give in.
That's right. And
I say to him, goodbye.
I know.
And enjoy your daughter.
And my other children.
And teach her what you learned from your suffering.
Yes, and she's her heart is open to that. So I have fertile ground there with her. So it's
her sisters too. Where are you calling from?
Massachusetts.
Can you afford to come and if I have a seminar over here, can you afford to come over here?
I would love to. I've been to one of them many, many years ago. I've been to out to Oregon, and it was wonderful. I mean, right. It was wonderful. It's something I can consider. I started. Yeah,
the only thing I'm not doing by running around and giving seminars, because it's the safety of American.
I understand that. I do.
I'm not afraid a bit. I just don't want to see people die.
Because
they don't like me that much. It's so bad. The left wing hates me so bad that they would send one of their own people to blow me up.
I know. I know what you... I see it. I do. I understand it. I've heard you talk about this before, about traveling now and your reasons why, and it's for the safety of others. And
that's right.
It only makes
I'm strong enough to do it now. I'm a whole man. I have all my problems solved. I'm 88 years old. I can get on a plane and do what I want.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
I'll carry your luggage for you, too.
I've been to your seminars, many of them, when you were here in Boston during those years. And actually, if it weren't for you, I wouldn't have been able to raise these kids by myself.
That's sweet.
You know, it was
You had a little father in you, didn't you?
I did. Yes, I did.
You had a little bit of me in there, and that was a Jesus self.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly.
I like that. Thank you very much. You make my heart. You know, I've got a lot of little problems right now, but you make my heart leap for joy for that. That's good. Okay? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
But tell Robert he needs to call Monday. That's good. It's a simple problem. He has some very interesting problems like cancer and things like that. Real, real stuff that really is painful and very annoying and life-defining. Okay, so please go to my website, support my program, and do repeating donations. On what you call that, David, I'm sorry, auto debit. Make it so much every month, please. I don't see me getting to enough people to save this country, to help save it. It's the knowledge you need. It's the knowledge you've been held back. Thank you so much. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528.